Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. A very good morning to you all. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, in Yana with the Border. I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Going to jump straight in. We've got a beautiful lady, Leah Cameron from Mara Law. Very good morning, Leah. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm really well, thank you.
Great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in. Now, our topic today, refinancing your home mortgage, is it worth it? When we're talking about COVID-19 and what's happening financially and the world turned upside down, people are grasping at their mortgage or complicated in regard to what should I do here? That's the question. So intro to the question, refinancing your home mortgage, is it worth it?
That's it. Look, as you said, many of us may not remember the last time we had a close look at our mortgage or know what we're even paying back or the interest rate is. Look, It is a good thing to review from time to time and really reassess, you know, is it worth sticking with the financial institution I'm with? Mm-hmm. Should I change? Should I do those things? And I suppose we're hesitant to do it, because it's a lot of palaver to even get the loan to begin with and all the documents and giving, you know, all your pay slips, and they want to know the ins and outs of a duck's backside. Mm. But it is worth it, and it can make a huge difference to your money.
It's worth investigating then,
absolutely,
isn't it?
So, look, there are some benefits. As we said, interest rates obviously can alter significantly with some banks. There might be better flexibility that you can obtain. And, you know, over time, it might be that you want to borrow a bit more because you want to do some renovations. All sorts of things
can
lead you to decide. But as we know with all these sorts of things, there are terms and conditions, you know, with anything. If you want to change, if you want to go to someone new. So there are costs involved. So one of those things is called a discharge fee. And or you know, commonly known as a termination fee.
Mm.
And that's when your current lender may require you to pay some money to get out of that
contract. Could you break a so-called contract, aren't you?
You are breaking a contract. So say you're borrowing $100,000 for 30 years, you're breaking that contract. So they're like, right, well, that's getting out of it.
Here's the fee.
There is a fee, and it depends on your particular terms and conditions. Sometimes there's a break fee that you have to pay. So if you have a fixed rate home loan, which some people do, even for a period of time, and you want to refinance before the end of that term, you'll have to pay a break fee. Once again, you've got to check your specific contract terms. And then there's this thing called exit fees. And interestingly enough, lenders have actually been banned from charging early exit fees on loans taken out after 1st of July 2011. So there was actually a change in the law around that.
Mm.
And that was, I suppose, one thing that a lot of people were hesitant to change banks because of that exit fee. But now they're not allowed to do it, so it's much easier for you to get out of the contract you're in.
Well, that's virtually locking an individual or couple into that contract in regards to, I don't know, virtually got them by the throat, you know, locked
that's
them
it.
In and can't move. So authorities have come and said, no, get rid of the exit
that's
fee.
That's it. And it was quite unfair because we all know the amount of money you need to borrow to buy your home, biggest thing you'll no doubt ever do.
Biggest investment.
And if you're locking that in for 30 years, which most of us take to pay off,
yes.
Or there is, you know, many of us don't even get the chance to do that. So that's why they looked at it, went, look, this is ridiculous. You need to have that flexibility. And it keeps, I suppose, the market competitive as well.
Sure.
Keeps them on their toes. And that's what we want with the banks. So once again, if you exit, going to someone else, there are fees again. They get you at every turn. But for a lot of people, it's still worth considering the change. So some banks have a application fee to consider, you know, your application.
So this is the new banks you're talking
to
now?
Yeah. Some people charge a valuation fee. So that's working out, you know, if you've already got a property, what it's worth, whether they'll lend to you. So that might be up to about $600. And then, of course, there's the settlement fee. And that can range. So that's obviously when they register the mortgage over the property, etc. And to attend the settlement itself. So there's all those sorts of fees at play. But as I said, it might be worthwhile still, given the huge amounts of money we all pay in repaying our mortgages and the interests associated with it, that it might be worthwhile doing a bit of a switch.
And doing a bit of a switch, it could be better for you in the long run. Like I said, if you do your numbers, do the facts and figures, so to speak, you may be able to pay your loan off in 25 years instead of 30 years.
Exactly.
And that's more money in your pocket regarding the interest.
For sure. So, for example, I recently, after having researched this, I threw down the gauntlet to my particular bank and I'd had a look at, you know, because obviously over a number of years I'd paid more off the home and I thought, let's see about a better interest rate. It's really interesting. So despite all that form filling and whatever else, I've actually decided to go with another bank.
Yes.
So my current bank just, I don't know, they just didn't pull their finger out. They were slack. And so another bank has said, yep, we'll step up, we'll offer you a much better rate. And I made that decision to go, despite these fees, you know what, current bank, you can stick it.
Yeah. And now, with the current bank, probably let's use you as an example. Did you have that conversation with them first?
Absolutely.
You did? And they weren't coming to the party?
No, so
and they weren't budget sort of things?
No.
So you looked elsewhere?
I just went, come on, you guys, you know, not only have you got my personal money there.
I'm a customer.
You've got my business's money. You've got my client's trust monies sitting with your bank. You know, it's a pretty big thing. You'd think they'd, you know, try a bit harder, and they couldn't compared to another one. And I thought, you know what, I've given you the opportunity. That's just slack customer service. I'm going to switch despite a few bit of a hassle.
So the other bank had their arms open wide.
They said,
you.
Come at me. I'm going to charge, give you much better interest rate. So it worked out that it would be better.
Fantastic. Well, do you have any tips for anyone else thinking about refinancing?
Yeah, look, as I said, review what you're currently paying. Do your research about, you know, banks or lenders. As we talked about, contact your current lender and see what they can do. Some people also use mortgage brokers. I've used them from time to time. You can get independent valuers and also have a chat to, you know, your local real estate agency just to sort of work out what property market values are as well. Obviously, you know, someone doing a valuation for the bank is very different to someone looking at selling your home or real estate agents.
Mortgage brokers, they're an agent that deals with all financial companies, don't they?
Finance
companies. So they find the best deal, so to speak.
They
don't
do,
yeah.
And they're quite good for, I suppose, people who aren't used to dealing with banks. They get all your paperwork lined up and do the negotiation, which can be quite handy.
Yeah.
But of course, they get their own benefit out of it.
Of course. Commission there, whatever, you know.
That's it. But I've found sometimes they're good at negotiating with banks, but sometimes you get to the stage where you can just do it yourself.
Sure.
So, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes, you're fine yourself. So all those things at play. But
I think if you do it yourself, you get educated as well.
You do.
You know what I mean?
I've
and contact deal with people. And there you go. That's right. So you're now leaving the law industry. You're now going into real estate, aren't you?
Oh, gosh, no. That's one thing I've learned. No, no.
All
that's
right, sorry,
it's an absolute skill. And they
good.
Sure.
So where can I get more information about refinancing my home loan?
Yeah, absolutely. So good to contact your bank. And there's plenty of information on the internet. You can have a chat to mortgage brokers, etc. But it's worthwhile considering. And as we've said, the laws have changed a few years ago to make it a little bit easier for people to get a better deal. So it's worth looking at, particularly at this time where we're all really, really watching our finances.
Yeah.
But if you've got any questions about commercial law, you're welcome to give the team a call at Murrawa Law.
Fantastic. And before we go into the layout of Murrawa Law, banks, in the climate we're living in regarding COVID-19 and people are struggling financially, what have you, I'm thinking you need to be looking after your clients.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And in your
situation,
they didn't.
Yeah, so a lot of banks have, I suppose, processes you can go through if you're struggling, for example, to repay your home loans or personal loans, all those sort of things. There's processes and they assess it on a case-by-case basis, but often it's just a deferral of what you owe them for a period of time until you get back on your feet.
Yes.
But it's really important, as we always say, have those conversations up front. Better off to have the conversation then than later on when you're really in the red and then people aren't so willing to negotiate.
Yeah, true too. All right. My sister, who's Marawa Law?
Marawa Law is a deadly Indigenous legal practice. We specialise in commercial, government and Indigenous law.
Yes.
You've got any questions, give the team a call on 07 404 1300 88. We're just happy to have a chat. If we can't help you on a particular issue, we'll try and find someone who can.
Lovely, beautiful Marawa Law. Leah Cameron, thank you very much. All the best to you and your deadly team.
My pleasure.
Look, stay safe, and we're still amongst COVID-19, and we just need to abide by the rules, don't we?
We do indeed.
All right, all the best, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trev.
All right, too deadly. Beautiful yarn, Leah Cameron, Marawa Law, and fantastic. The topic there was about refinancing your home mortgage, and is it worth it? So there's all the information. Do due diligence and regarding the fees and chat to your so-called bank, current bank, and feel as though if you can do a better deal with them, then fantastic. If not, look elsewhere. You are the customer. They say customer's always right. And it's about a dollar in your pocket is better than somebody else's. So do what you need to do to protect the mule in regard to the cash. All right, your mob, have your say. Yarn up strong. National Talk Back, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
G'day, folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Back. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, too deadly. Black image, mullet hunting here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and like I said, you can have your say on that number, 1-800-422-416. Now, one in four Australians have experienced financial abuse. New research reveals almost 4 in 10 adult Australians have either experienced financial abuse or know someone who has. The most common behaviour involves a perpetrator using all their partner's wages for household expenses while spending their own money only on themselves. Building on years of work, Commonwealth Bank today announces two initiatives to tackle financial abuse in collaboration with the sector partners and experts. New initiatives include an in-house community wellbeing team, financial coaching and interest-free loans for victims. We're going to catch up a yarn with the Commonwealth Bank spokesperson, Catherine Fitzpatrick, on the line. Catherine, very good morning. How are you?
Thanks very much, Trevor. It's really great to be here.
Thank you very much for coming on the program. Where are you based, Catherine?
I'm based in Sydney.
In Sydney. Well, I'm in sunny North Queensland. So it'll be a pair of shorts and singlet having a yarn to you.
Yeah, well, I'm rugged up with a big jumper on at the moment.
That's what I thought I'd put across the airwaves. Tormenting you. Listen, a very important conversation and very sad in regard to the numbers, but one in four Australians have experienced financial abuse. And it's great to see that banks have got something in place to protect all people in regard to financial abuse, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, financial abuse is quite a hidden epidemic, and so we were really startled to see these figures when we surveyed 10,000 Australians, because we know that it's one of the most powerful ways that somebody can keep someone trapped in a domestic and family violence situation, and obviously it can cause victims very serious financial stress. One of our partners has said, you may have people who have to choose between poverty or violence, and that's no choice at all.
No, exactly. Jumping out of fry pan and fire, so to speak. Can you tell us more about the survey and how it all came about, please?
Yes. So over the last 5 years, we have committed around $30 million, actually, to support people experiencing domestic and financial abuse. And we could see that there was an emerging problem around financial abuse, which is why we commissioned the research. And it did find that a large number of people have either experienced it themselves or they know someone who's experienced it. And about 1 in 10 of the people that we surveyed have also recognised that they have been a perpetrator as well, that they have tried to control people through their money.
Oh, being honest, aren't they?
Well, it is being honest. And, you know, sometimes people might not realise that that's the behaviour that they are doing and that that's the impact of their behaviour.
Sure.
But what it also found in this survey is that around 79% of Australian adults didn't know what support was available. And the overwhelming majority, so about 93%, believe that there were barriers to seek support, which is why that we are now taking action.
Mm. What are some examples of financial abuse?
So some of the abuse that we were told about through the survey could be that someone might use all of their partner's wages for household expenses and then spending only their own money on themselves.
Mm.
Or they might hide assets. Or they might take complete control of their partner's finances or completely refuse to contribute to the household at all.
And how is Commonwealth Bank helping people impacted by domestic and financial abuse as such?
So we have announced two new supports. One is for Any Australian, and that is a partnership with Good Shepherd to launch the Financial Independence Hub, which is anyone, regardless of who you bank with, if you are recovering from financial abuse and you need to really rebuild and take steps to rebuild financial independence, learn how to make money decisions again, mm-hmm. This is a specialist coach that can help you do that. And then for Commonwealth Bank customers, we have the Community Wellbeing Team, and they've been specially trained to support customers experiencing vulnerability, including domestic and financial abuse. They can do things like help provide financial assistance or safe bank accounts.
Sure.
I think another piece, particularly for your listeners, is that we have a partnership with the Indigenous Consumer Assistance Network,
mm-hmm.
and we're training, we've put scholarships in place.
Good.
For people from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander and multicultural backgrounds to become qualified financial counsellors. So at the moment we're piloting that program,
yes.
To have a deeper focus on financial abuse, so to make sure that support's being really delivered in a culturally appropriate way.
Well, exactly. We tend to get missed in regards to the financial world that we live in regard to our people, as in First Nation people, and this is a fantastic opportunity for a career path for First Nation people, but also protection of First Nation people, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And given that this is a hidden epidemic, the more we can talk about it, the more we talk about what's a healthy relationship with money, because it doesn't matter how much or how little you have.
Mm.
If you understand it and you can make choices about how you're going to spend or save or invest, that's a really healthy relationship. And so the more we can do that, the more we can encourage people's financial independence.
Exactly. Well, Catherine, money is a tool, and we need a tool to survive, so to speak. And so the financial intelligence, no matter how small it is, but go a mile, see a mile, we can help with our future aspirations regarding finance, yes?
Absolutely.
And with regards to the your team and working with people, I'm thinking once bitten, twice shy. If you were a victim of such, when coming to the table, the fear of the unknown, but there your support is in regarding Commonwealth Bank and regarding navigating through into the future, yes?
Yeah, it is. So we have, for Commonwealth Bank customers, we've got a specially trained team who understand what it's like to experience trauma.
Yes.
And don't want to re-traumatise you by
exactly.
getting you to tell your story more than once. So we're here to help you with your banking needs, but then also to refer to those expert and community organisations that know about vulnerability and those experiences much more than we do because we're bankers.
Mm-hmm.
But also this new service with Good Shepherd and the Financial Abuse Hub, this is, we spoke to a lot of victims and survivors and said, what do you need? Where's the gap? And they told us they needed someone who could help hold their hand over a longer period to say, here's how you might think about the decisions you're making today and the long-term impact
yes.
that might have. So we're really proud to be partnering with Good Shepherd with that hub.
I've got a soft spot for our elders, and as we respect our elders, is the way we should be living life. But I see a lot of financial abuse towards elders. Like mortgages changed over to the son or the daughter or whatever the case may be, or the in-law. How's the support there in that degree?
Yeah, so this research that we've done has really focused on domestic and financial abuse that arises from domestic violence situations, but we do know that the elderly in our community can be very vulnerable to other people trying to access their money and take that money. If that is an experience, it's really important. If you talk to any bank will try to help and see the way we might be able to provide support.
Yes.
And there are also a number of other services that can help, and financial counsellors are a fantastic place to start.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for the information and protecting all Australians out there. Those numbers are high. 1 in 4 Australians have experienced financial abuse, and we need to keep those numbers down, of course. Thank you very much, Catherine. All the best to you and your team. Look, in this climate we're living in, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Trevor. Really appreciate it.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there with Catherine Fitzpatrick, her name is. She's the Commonwealth Bank spokesperson, and we're talking about experiencing financial abuse, and 1 in 4 Australians go through that yucky stage in their life, which is sad to see. It's about love and respecting each other, and money's a tool. And I always say you've got to love people and use money. Don't love money, use people. So there it is. Have you say yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor. Murray from the Curry with your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Yeah, Wake Up Australia, the name of that Delhi track there, George Arambu. And this is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn of Song? We're Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm trying to be pretty happy here about stuff.
What's happening, brother? You have some good news, have you?
I've got some good news, and it's the power of radio. I was sitting here the other day, and I was sort of thinking about stuff, and I had a show, and it was called The Trading Post, 4KZ, down at Innisfail, and the Kathleary Coast put it on.
Okay.
And I went on there and sold something before, and so I went on and I asked if anybody had a double cassette, because, and I have to apologise to the station for putting pressure on them, and this lady said, yes, I've got one and I could have it, and she delivered this great big ghetto blaster this morning with a double cassette that's never been used.
Good, brother.
It's a miracle, mate, because now...
Like the power of radio, eh?
The power of radio. It really is a miracle, because I was jammed, because now I can edit that material myself and make it more presentable, which should have been my duty in the first place. But, you know, I've been scrambled with this funeral business.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, yeah, business, yeah. Brother, which is very important. And it all come to fruition, so to speak, bit by bit, eh? And asking the questions.
Yeah. So, the power of radio, mate, and it's just amazing what you can do if you're positive, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm still battling the council over this graveyard
Club.
Situation.
Yes.
And my paper is going to come out on the 1st of August, and there's other media interested in that, and... my mother used to call me her gypsy son.
Her gypsy son?
Yeah, Gypsy the gypsy. You're
a bit of a traveller, by the sounds of it, you are.
I've done a lot of travelling, and in my world I'm still travelling because I'm from the other side of the planet, so it never ends, you know, and that's all right. We talked about privilege before, and I'm privileged because I had a Murray education.
Yes, beautiful, brother. That is a compliment.
But there's one other thing. I forgot what it does, and I was just trying to be happy and positive here. Mm. And it was great, mate, because I was doing all those prints and paintings, and I was able to give her the lady one, you know. And I just couldn't believe it. They give it away, they didn't want money, and it blew my mind. And because I'm a musician, I've been writing the song, mate. And you want to hear the title first line?
Yeah.
Well, it's a blues song, and it's called, I'll just do the, I'm tired of pushing Gunnar uphill.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, and the second verse is, I'm tired of juturing in the wind. Mm. Yeah, you can figure it out, something in the wind. And I was studying language because I was sick or tired of something, and I didn't know the word for sick, and I was reading through place names of the Adinshi book there, and I come to Kama, which is a railway siding just a little bit north of Gordonville. Mm. And I saw the word vomit. So I've got the third line of the song there, and I think it's going to be directed at the Crown.
At the Crown. Target.
I'm definitely set, Matthew, because this musician has got a recording studio at home now. And
well, that's beautiful. Well, keep us posted on your project, and how you go, my brother. I want to keep running. Thanks, Tony. That's Tony Gibbs there. Having his say there. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Yarn Up with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. And I'm taking right through to 12 noon Queensland time. And I believe we've got Barry on the line. Very good morning, Barry. How are you?
Good morning.
Barry Cedric, my brother.
Yeah, mate. Not too bad. Thanks, mate. Look, good. A wonderful day, and... COVID's finished. I just want to say hello to everybody, and I'd like to thank a few people.
Mm.
That book now I was telling you about has come to fruition, and I'd like to just thank publicly Minister Enoch.
Yes.
For environment and whatever portfolio, for giving me the grant for the book.
Beautiful.
It's going to be called, yeah. Barry Cedric Songlines.
Daddy, brother.
Book. Yeah, it's book of first...
So you're in the process of writing it, or you've finished it, or where are you at with it, brother?
Well, I've been laboriously typing all the lyrics and giving explanations, like, where you're from, my brother. is asking Indigenous Australia, where yes. you're from, asking Trevor Timms where you're from.
And that's what we brother. Do, eh, brother? We ask the mob where you're from. You've got to find out that connection, yeah. that's all.
yeah. Well, I'm from Yarraba Kunganji tribe yes. and Gimoid Indian, my grandmother's side. Grandfather mm. is from Yarraba. My mm. great-grandmother on my father's side, guess what, from Cloncurryway.
See, that's why we connect, brother.
yeah, the Yatemans, the Shribers, yes. The Cedricks from Cloncurry. But, yeah, I can sit down one campfire with you, my brother.
Yeah, for sure, Cass.
Yes, sir. I want to thank everybody who's been associated for getting Barry Cedric's songs being heard over many years.
Yes.
One is BBM radio station 98.7 FM in Cairns. My Yarraba community, my family, all the 11 communities in the Cape where I've toured and across Australia, and NAIDOC committees, all these people who over the years. So it comes at the right time. Thank you, Curtis Pitt from the state Queensland State Government Office. For agreeing to the grant, Enoch, Minister Enoch, who said yes, gave the tick. Barry Cedric, yeah, you know, he's from North Queensland. I know him, and I don't know if they know me, but thank you very much. I know Curtis Pitt, though. I'm a local member from up North Queensland here in Mulgrave, I believe. He's a member of Mulgrave, but also in the State Parliament of Queensland.
Yes. And all the support that people are giving you, my brother, is fantastic.
Yeah, over the years. So it's one of many books of all my... I've written 200, but this is the first 30 of it, called Barry Cedric Songlines, with a bit of explanation of where you're from. I'm an Aborigine. Yarraba was my home blood. So hello, people in Yarraba. Thank you for lockdown being lifted. Trevor Timms, National Talk Black crew, look, I can go back to my own community now and visit my
deadly.
Uncle, my dad, my mum, everybody, and I'm so glad.
No, that's true, Deadly brother. Congratulations. Please keep posting. We want a copy of the book here at Bummer Bibber as well, brother, because I know where you live, cuss. Yes,
I'll drop one to National Talk Black and BBM there, mate, right here in North Queensland.
Too deadly.
Thank
all right, my brother, you take care. All the best.
Thank all of the crew, Jackie and everybody at BBM there, and also National Talk Black. Thank you very much. Thank you, Australia. Barry Cedric signing off.
Too deadly, brother. Barry Cedric, so keep your eye on for that. Watch this page, or this space, so to speak, in regard to Barry Cedric coming out with his book and storyline. So fantastic. Have you say Yana Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Let's change his world through happiness and smile at each other, relieving the stress. We can all make a difference in this world. Together, baby, let's give it a whirl.
but I say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there. Now that is sad.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
There, Nabalak Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, House there, the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And look, a fantastic tool for our mob, so do utilise it. We are still in the pandemic. Don't ever forget that. Don't get laxy-daisy with it. And there's no virus, no vaccine for the virus is what I'm going to say. So we need to adhere to the rules. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Andrew Kavanagh. He's the health writer and in regard to the pandemic. On the line, Andrew, very good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Trev.
Fantastic, mate. Good to be talking with you. Now, you and I go back a long way, Vietnam, Cairns State High School. So there it was, brother, coffee shop on the Esplanade. So how are you travelling, all right?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I don't know which is worse, Vietnam or the Kent State High School. Pretty rough back then.
Back in the day, that's right, in the trenches. My friend, look, you're a health writer. So we haven't got a vaccine for the virus. We cannot get to Laxidaisy. Borders are opening up. And in Victoria's case, borders are closed. So we need to adhere to the rules in place and don't be too complacent, yes? You there, Andrew?
For people listening to this, if just a little test, if you believe all this will end and we'll get back to normal just because we reopen everything, raise your hand and now slap yourself with it.
Hello, there you go, there you go. And that's for people getting too complacent about situations.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, we are screaming out for normality, but we still need to tread carefully, of course.
Well, the thing is, when you raise the restrictions, you've also, people actually need to be more careful about social distancing, not less careful, because it actually also raises risk. So I think we could talk about maybe how you catch this virus, because there's been some confusion about that.
Okay.
And that would help people understand what you have to do to reduce your chance of infection.
Mm.
There's a few things. How do you catch the virus? Well, we know for certain that being in close contact with someone infected within 2 metres, 1 metre especially, that's the highest risk.
Mm.
Being near someone infected for a prolonged period of time, the longer you're near someone, the higher the chance of being infected and the greater the distance you can be infected from. That's actually really important. Most people don't understand that one.
Mm.
So that's why it's not a really great idea to be sitting in a restaurant for an hour or in a bar for an hour. You know, that's why it's kind of high risk. If
sure.
you can be outside in the sun and 4 or 5 metres away from someone, that's much lower risk. But yeah, not sitting around other people for a long time when you're out,
and exactly.
being near larger numbers of people, especially if you're inside, is also high risk. So the other thing is, we know the virus spreads from large droplets. That's how you get infected. That's why being within 1-2 metres is the highest risk, because large droplets get on your hands or they get on your face.
Mm.
They come out of someone when they're talking, or when they sneeze, cough, etc. And they get into the mucous membranes of your eyes, nose and mouth. And that's one of the ways you catch the virus. There's another way that's now the World Health Organization has confirmed, which is what they call aerosol droplets, really fine droplets that can travel much further. And that's why the amount of time you're near other people makes it a much higher risk, because these little droplets, they're probably not going to infect you. Like, you don't really have to worry about walking past someone and thinking, oh.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, you have to get a big enough dose for it to infect you. But if you're sitting around someone, you know, even within 4 metres for like 2 hours, it's a pretty high chance you'll be infected.
Mm.
So the amount of time you spend near others is real important. So that gets you to how do you avoid catching it and spreading it. Number one way, stay home as much as possible.
That's okay.
Easy, right?
Yep.
Second way is wash your hands often with soap and water and dry them thoroughly. That stops you from getting the big droplets in your body. Keep as far away from other people if you have to go out. A minimum of 1.5 metres, preferably 2 or 3 metres or more, preferably much further, because as we said, you know, a lot of people think, oh, there's 1.5 metres is safe. That's not about 1.5 metres, just about reducing the major risk, which is being within 1 metre of someone infected. So the bigger the distance you can keep from other people, the better. And I've been around town. I know that everyone listening to this radio show.
Thank you. That's a compliment. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, they treat me like I got the plague. I can tell them too, because, you know. You stand out a bit. And this is going to come. This will be coming to our area soon, I think. I hope not. But
yeah, sure. Yeah.
If you're in an area with community transmission, wear a mask when you go out. None in Cairns.
Mm.
So that's not a big deal, but it'll probably come. Keep the time you're near others as short as possible. That may actually be the most important point that most people don't understand. And keep the number of people you're near as low as possible. You really can't be safe in a group. So stay home if you can, you know.
Well, exactly.
And so that's kind of the biggest things. There's no need to be scared or anything, but, you know, This is a serious risk now because we know we have people coming in from New South Wales, even some here from Victoria. You don't have to get all upset at them or anything.
Well, I must admit, a lot of people were jumping up and down with the Premier of Queensland, you know, in regard to opening up the borders. But she stood her ground and, not on her watch. It was her biggest call, you know. But here it is, opening up, but it's scary in a way to what's happening down in Victoria and then New South Wales.
Well, that's the other thing, is people have to stop kicking this thing around like it's a political football.
Sure. What's that?
Properly, the leader of the opposition. They were all pushing for our Premier to open the borders earlier, and she was following the advice of our chief medical officer, who said we should wait till New South Wales and Victoria have two rounds without community transmission before opening the borders. Well, political pressure meant that we didn't do that, but we probably should have, you know. And it was the same with the Premier of Victoria. He didn't want to reduce restrictions while there was still community transmission. You see how that went.
Yes.
You know, so it's important that politicians and even us, we don't start kicking that football around, you know. Just stick to basics. If the medical experts say, look, this is the best way to do it,
well, exactly.
Right.
And whatever cost that may be, because we're looking at the economy getting back online and normality, so to speak, but we can make matters worse and put us in a deeper hole, so to speak, if you look at it financially wise, economy wise.
Well, imagine what would happen if Cairns had significant community transmission, or any region around Cairns, right? That's pretty much the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Because no one's going to want to come for a nice holiday to Cairns if they know there's people everywhere with coronavirus. Mm. Would you like to go for a holiday now down to Melbourne?
No, you know? Well, exactly. No, that's right. Exactly. Exactly.
So you've got to keeping the spread out of this region is actually essential for protecting our tourist industry. Mm. So yeah, and that's the same thing with people. Everyone listening, you know. Practicing social distancing. That is actually one of the ways we protect our tourist industry.
Well, that's the best vaccine we got at the moment, haven't we, Andrew?
That's right. And the other thing about when you're talking about there's no vaccine, it's not just there's no vaccine, there's also no really effective treatment either.
Okay.
So we're getting better, but it's not significantly better. The Australian actually has the lowest.
So as a health writer, what do you reckon we're looking at regarding time-wise in regarding getting a vaccine and then for it to be put in place, so to speak, and be tested? Are we looking 12 months, 24 months? Hard to say.
To put this in context, if we had a vaccine that was ready for widespread dispersal in 12 months, that would be the greatest medical accomplishment in history.
Whoa. That's how far we're away.
But having said that, there are a couple of trials.
There's some very smart people that are in the labs now doing the thing globally. So we're smart people. We should be able to pick up something, yes?
Not just globally. University of Queensland actually has
human trials. There you go, represent.
I'm very optimistic, and I think that 12 months is actually possible. Mm. But I think you have to be realistic and also consider that we might, it's an outside possibility, we might never have a vaccine.
Yes.
So you've got to also consider that as well. The other thing is, that's not the only thing that can change the way we deal with a virus.
Mm.
If we have effective drug treatments, that would change it, because then people might be able to just take a pill and their progression of the virus might stop, for example. But that works with other viruses.
Yes.
So that's one. And also widespread testing. There's actually some great developments in what we call point-of-care tests, which are pinprick blood tests. You've seen them for other things.
Mm.
They give you a result in maybe 15 minutes. And if we get... There's an Australian researchers working on those right now that will tell you if you've been infected in the past, are you infected now? If we had a test kit like that, we could literally deliver it to everybody in the country.
Yes.
And people could be testing once a month or something to know if they're infected or not. So that could also change things. So there's things on the horizon and they're starting to come through now that will change the way we can deal with the pandemic. But as you say, the best thing we can do right now is just stick to social distancing. It's not that big a deal.
No, it isn't.
Stay home. Stay as far from, away from other people as you can with, when you're out.
That can still give you a normal life by just doing that, hey?
Yeah, exactly. and, you know, there's countries in the world where they've practiced mask wearing and social distancing, and they're actually just going on with life as normal.
Yeah, we can do so it.
Yeah, it can be done.
And so, Queensland have done well. Australia has done well, you know. So we need to step back up to the plate again.
Also, yeah, and I think Victoria, what's happening in Victoria is a really big, you know, warning of how quickly things can go bad and how you can't just let your guard.
Exactly. Can't let your guard down. Andrew Kavanagh, thank you for the yarn, my friend. We'll keep in touch. All the best to you and your family. You stay safe and we'll talk soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, brother. That's Andrew Kavanagh. He's an international health writer, and that's his statement in regard to the COVID-19 and how we're sitting, and not sitting good in regarding vaccine, but us sitting good in regarding if we abide by the rules. That's his message there. So do abide by the rules. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, and thanks to all our First Nation radio stations. A beautiful network it is. A big shout-out to all our Murray radio stations. Also a big shout-out to Michael and the team there, the crew there, Dennis Sherberg, one love you mob, and you always tuned in to National Talk Black, and we work together as in First Nation radio stations across the nation. So fantastic. Murray going to sign off your mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, more importantly stay safe, and we'll be yarning soon. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back.